Blog Talk Radio.
Who's that lady?
Anna!
Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Rand McCoy! Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Rand McCoy!
Hurry, come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show.
Hurry, come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show.
Hurry, come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show.
Anna! The Rand McCoy!
Hurry, come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show.
Hurry, come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show.
Hurry, come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show.
Anna! The Rand McCoy!
This is Anna, the real McCoy. I'm excited to share with you today that we have an exciting guest going to be joining us, Ms. Victoria DePaul, who is the founder of Galio Business and Learning Consultants. The reason why I'm excited about Victoria joining us today is she is the author of a new book called Creating the Entrepreneur, The Search for Leadership Excellence. And I believe she's going to help us today be able to take advantage of opportunities in the marketplace, some of this cutting-edge information that she's going to share. But, you know, her passion is really about personal development and self-mastery in helping us really become accountable as it relates to us achieving our goals in life. She works with organizations around the country in teaching and mastering in systems with energy and understanding, using human quantum energy to really change the whole face or transform the face of your organization. So I'm excited to welcome Victoria to the show. Welcome, Victoria.
Thank you so much. This is wonderful.
Well, let me tell you, girl, we've been trying to put this together for a little while, and I'm excited that our time has come for you to begin to share everything that you have written about in your book on creating the entrepreneur. The first thing that I want you to understand, that I think that it's so timely today based on the economic conditions, and we do want to spend some time on giving you the opportunity to help us to become what I call really the cream of the crop in becoming that entrepreneur in the organization where we become priceless
absolutely.
In the economy so that we can maintain and lead in what we're doing. So first of all, tell us a little bit about Victoria.
Well, how I came to this place in life is probably where I will start. I have, in my professional life, I was in the telecommunications industry as a human resource manager and a marketing manager for close to 24 years. And when I began in my management career back in the mid-80s, wow, what a different world it was in the management field. We really managed through intimidation and harassment. Now, I was fortunate that as a human resource manager, I was able to spread my wings, and I worked in a variety of titles, including many stints in training in various capacities, whether it be in developing training materials and also in developing employees. So I began to work with people professionally, and I might add, one of things that really opened my eyes, and I think this happens with all of us, I went through a series of personal incidents and events that really caught my attention. I had to sit down and really prioritize what is life all about. So the incidents and events that occurred in my personal life, of course, stumbled over to my professional life as well as I began to prioritize how I relate to people both professionally and personally. So that was probably the catalyst for opening my eyes and how and taking a look at how we manage our work groups, how we manage our teams, starting to look at organizations, groups, and teams, not only in the business world, but in all areas of life. We're all parts of community. We all belong to a family. We belong to a neighborhood. We belong to the city, state, nation, governments, or organizations. So the principles that I talk about really apply to any group or subset of an energy system because we're human. We are social and group creatures, if you will.
Well, here's one of the, you're absolutely right, and the one thing that I do appreciate about this is trying to teach us, or really your book teaching us how to be better able to work together. And the one thing in taking responsibility, I think, for your own energy, I think is very important as it relates to being a, you know, a catalyst for change in an environment. And I think the book does a great job in helping us to get there. So let's talk about your book, Creating the Entrepreneur, The Search for Leadership Excellence.
I might begin by letting listeners know that entrepreneur is spelled with an I. Here it's spelled with an I because what I really want organizations and groups to understand is when you really are serious about creating positive results, when you can get everyone in the organization to take responsibility, to increase their personal power, then everyone will be acting as an entrepreneur within the organization. So someone or an employee who works as an entrepreneur within an organization is an intrapreneur. So that's intrapreneur with an I instead of the E that we're normally would see. The qualities of the intrapreneur would include passion, commitment, resourcefulness, creativity, initiative. Entrepreneurs are risk takers who see problems as opportunities, and they assume direct responsibility for tasks and outcomes, and they feel good about assuming that responsibility. So this book is about showing leaders and managers how they can implement strategies and processes that are designed to increase the positive energy in the workplace environment. And to do that, the first thing you need to do is understand what is human energy. Now, human energy is either positive or negative. So leaders then must understand that within any organization, the power of that organization is its source of energy. So as an organization, take a look at it as a complex energy system made of many subsets. The most basic unit of any individual, of any human system is the individual, that is, the people. So a business, then, is an energy system made up of subsets such as teams and departments, which, again, is composed of the individual. Now, the basic power, then, of the individual is either operating on positive or negative energy. And, of course, to create positive results, it's that subset is operating in positive energy.
Okay. So now one of the things that even as we talk about the power of the organization and creating that positive energy, you share with us about, in, you know, as it relates to the intrapreneur and what it is, but how do you really become an intrapreneur in your organization? Now, before you answer that question, I'm going to ask it to you again, but we're going to take a short break so I can work on some of our technical difficulties, and I'm going to come right back, okay?
Okay.
You know you need to get control of your finances, but like many people, you probably don't know where to start. That's why Anna McCoy and her husband Richmond have created a plan of action they call Building Generational Wealth. This easy-to-follow workbook contains step-by-step instructions that will enable you to understand and act to secure your financial future. You'll learn how to determine your net worth, reduce debt, manage your money, and even plan for retirement. Seize your financial future today. To order, simply visit AnnaMcCoy.com.
Hello, Victoria?
Yes.
Oh, we're trying to work on those technical difficulties. I was not successful, but sounds like we have maybe just a little bit of a better connection. So you're listening to Anna, the Real McCoy on Woman Ask Male Radio, and we're talking to our guest today, Victoria DePaul, who is the author. Well, we're having some real challenges today, Ms. Victoria.
There you go.
Who is the author of Creating the Entrepreneur, The Search for Leadership Excellence. You know, Victoria, this is what happens when you do your studio, you do your radio program in your home, and you have an unexpected guest who stirs up your animals.
Exactly. And my dogs obviously just heard yours because now they've joined into the chorus.
Oh, that is funny. But that's the beauty of being able to be an entrepreneur and be able to achieve your dreams and visions beyond the corporate environment. And so let's get back into it because we've got another 50 minutes that we can make the most of this interview and really give you an opportunity to begin to share this information with our audience. So just before the break, we were talking about the power of organization as positive energy and creating that positive energy in that organization. And I asked about how do we become an entrepreneur? Many people know how to become an entrepreneur, as you described. You know, we're entrepreneurs. We solve problems. We're taking the calculated risk. But let's get into, because I know your book is written both to the managers of an organization and trying to reshape their thinking on how to be that entrepreneur in the organization. But I also want you to focus on empowering our listeners to be the entrepreneur within their organization as an individual that's also not in a management or leadership role, but how could they really become, you know, a powerful entrepreneur in the organization?
Absolutely. And there really are two levels involved here. The first level is leaders and managers. Now, they have the unique opportunity to assist employees in becoming entrepreneurs by establishing a work culture where innovation and passion abounds. Now, what does that require? First of all, it requires trust. It requires that leaders and managers be so confident in who they are that they can release a lot of the responsibility of what happens in the organization to individuals. Understanding that the ultimate motivation of every individual is to experience themselves in wisdom, power, and value. This is where our happiness comes from. Our joy in life is feeling that we are in control, that we are contributors, that we have say in what happens to us. And this extends beyond our personal lives. It's critical that leaders understand that this is innate in every human being. So entrepreneurship is natural to all of us. We're born with the innate characteristics of curiosity, ambition, flexibility, creativity, resilience. These are all the necessary components of entrepreneurship. Now, this can only exist within companies that grow positive energy. And the leadership and management can directly contribute to whether or not that work climate is a positive energy work climate. So managers and leaders first take a look at the work climate. Is your organization operating in positive energy? Are employees enthusiastic? Are they self-motivated? Are they productive? If you are answering no, then you know that you are working in a negative energy work climate. So take a look at what's happening within our management. What type of constraints and restraints are we placing on people that are increasing the negative energy? What can we do about it? How can we turn that around? Now, you can turn that around by finding ways to empower people. Recognize everyone has a unique talent. Understanding what those unique talents are and finding opportunities for individuals to express those talents is what creates the positive energy and creates the initiative, the resourcefulness, the flexibility that you need. Every single person is born with these characteristics. All of these characteristics is what allowed us to take our first step in life. As babies, we were flexible. We were creative. We were tenacious. We fell down. We got up. there was no fear there. So somewhere along the line, as we grew, all of a sudden we learned constraint, we learned restraint, we started to increase in negative energy. And this is really where our lack of motivation comes from, that increase in negative energy that begins to surround us as we grow and try to expand. So understanding that all of these positive energies are natural, what we want to do is go back to creating an environment that is safe for our employees, members of our organizations, and also these same principles apply to families. Take a look at how you might be restricting your children and just allow them to feel and experience themselves as enthusiastic, self-motivated, and really to increase their personal power. Now, on the second level, the organization by no means is responsible ultimately for your happiness. They can create a work environment that allows you to more easily feel that and experience that. However, ultimately, our personal motivation, our enthusiasm, our motivation is internal. So it's critical that leaders and managers understand what motivates not only others in the organization but themselves as well. And it's also critical that each individual take personal responsibility and accountability for where they're at in life. And that's how you become an entrepreneur. That first critical step is understanding that I am responsible for everything that happens to me. Now, the circumstances and the situations I may not be responsible for, but every single one of us is always at cause for how we choose to respond to those events in life. And that's really the key to success and failure.
So now when you're thinking to that point, then I'd like to talk about, with the current economic strain and the downturn, the laying off of individuals in the marketplace. I mean, we just heard even with the automobile industry, all of those individuals who are now being laid off in all of these areas, how can leaders keep things positive in the middle of a recession?
Well, the first thing is to recognize that all of these negative energies are at work in individuals. I have been in many business situations where employees have been shut down. In other words, you're told whatever your personal problems are, you leave them at the door. From 9 to 5, you belong to the company. Well, when people are worried about how am I going to pay the bills, how am I going to pay the babysitter, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to afford heating oil this year. I don't know what's happening with this job. They're talking at the water cooler about possible layoffs. All of this creates negative energy in the workplace. So managers, first of all, have to understand that the negative energy is there, and you have to deal with it. And again, this is where we go back to what is the ultimate motivation of every individual. We all seek to experience happiness, joy, to feel good about ourselves, to feel that we have some sort of empowerment in life. Now, again, we go back to the organization has an opportunity to allow people to participate. So the practical real steps that management and leaders must take is, first of all, let people know every step of the way what's happening on the job. If there is a possibility that there is going to be any type of an economic turndown that's going to affect the organization, let people know, but don't do it in an atmosphere of fear. Do it in an atmosphere of what can we do? We know that this is coming. This is the situation that we're in. And again, when you have an empowered workforce, your ideas, the creativity, the productivity is going to flow. So what businesses do when they run into a negative situation is often they focus on results. In most cases, they're focusing on negative results. So they attempt to devise solutions to alleviate, eliminate, or reverse what they don't want. Instead of focusing on what it is that you don't want, establish the goal and focus on what can we do. In this current economic environment, how can everyone, and this is a process that would involve everyone at all or levels of the organization, what can we do to stay afloat in this particular set of economic circumstances? Now you allow people to feel empowered. Letting people feel empowered, there are probably going to be some people who may want to voluntarily retire, who are looking at this as an opportunity to do something different. There are people who are going to feel, you know, this is probably a good time to talk about that plan that I've had. I've been, you know, too afraid to mention it, but I have this great idea that really could be the saving grace for the corporation. But in a leadership of harassment and intimidation, people may be afraid to come forward with these ideas. And this is the time where you need to really encourage everyone to participate. Now, the benefit to this, if you can create an empowered workforce, when people leave the workforce in a state of empowerment, they're not going home carrying negative baggage. They're feeling that they're contributing. They're feeling empowerment. Because they are operating in a lower level of negative energy, now they're probably less apt to kick the dog, if you will. They're less apt to participate in an act of road rage. By the time they get home, they want to spend time with the kids. So by increasing the energy in the workforce, holistically, you are creating an employee who not only is better able to contribute to the organization, but is better able to contribute to the community, better able to parent, better able to take care of their neighbors. Perhaps they're going to be more responsive to a church activity. So I'm encouraging leaders and managers to take a look honestly at what is the energy situation in your workplace. Decide what the results are that you want. Create the vision, and then empower and motivate people. Allow them to participate in that process so everybody goes there to get to that end result. And you do it as a group.
Okay. Well, what about the methodology of entrepreneurship or creating the entrepreneur? How does that cross over to the from the work to the home environment?
What we want leaders and individuals to really understand is the negativity that you carry with you into the workplace carries over into all aspects of life. So when we can release the victim mentality and move to a stage of personal accountability, people can begin to see more clearly that personal accountability doesn't always extend to the job. But people can now understand that, yes, I have an opportunity to contribute at work. I become empowered at work. Then they start to say, well, what else can I do? How else can I start to affect outcomes in other areas of my life? For instance, they can start to take a look at the effects of victim mentality in their relationships. They can take a look at their personal finances and see what is happening within how I am operating that's having a negative impact on my finances, my participation in the community. In other words, what is it that I can do? Take a look at all areas of your life and say, how did I get here? But again, that can only take place without the victim mentality. So understanding cause and effect, if you are in victim mentality, you are at effect of what's happening in the world. So we can invite people now to increase your creator power, because you want to move up that scale from effect to cause. Cause is your ability as creator to recognize that innate spiritual energy that exists within all of us to be creator. But you must do that in a state of responsibility. You must first understand and acknowledge that I am accountable. I am responsible for what happens in my life. If you are taking a look at if it's your professional life, if you're blaming everything on the boss, everything is on the organization, they did this, they did that. Even within relationships, you see that the finger pointing. You know, if my husband did this, if my wife did this, it's those kids. Start to take a look at what is my contribution, negative or positive, and how is it impacting the results that have shown up? And what can I do to understand that and change that?
Well, you know, you talk about in your book, when you're talking about polarity, about this whole process of energy and giving, talking about the various forms of energy. And why don't you give us two or three examples of negative energy, because you keep speaking about this negative energy, but what does that really mean? How is that demonstrated in our lives?
Negative energy, it refers to any negative emotion. So fear, anger, sadness, depression, anxiety. These are all examples of various modulations of negative energy. On the positive side, we have the positive energies of enthusiasm, passion, confidence, success, joy, love, happiness. Now, all of us reside at some chronic energy level where most of the time we might just be okay. So then an event happens and we respond energetically to that event. Now, sometimes the emotion to that particular event could send us to negative energy, or it could send us to positive energy. Understanding that the ultimate goal of each of us is to be happy, everything that we do is because we believe that it will make us happy. Now, that doesn't mean that it will, but at least we believe that it will at that particular moment in time. Or, at the very least, we're choosing the lesser of two evils, that which we believe will bring the less pain. So let's say, for instance, I'm going to use the example of driving down the street. This has happened to me a few times. Some days in driving down the street, somebody cuts me off, and I start gripping the steering wheel. I've gone into negative energy. Now, I might be feeling anger because I had to slam on the brakes. Other times, I'm driving down the road, someone does the same thing, and I can go into let me put the brakes on. Maybe they're rushing to the hospital. Maybe there's a relative that's sick. Let me let this poor person in. They have something important that they have to rush to. The event is the same. But I've had a different emotional reaction to the same experience. So what's happening is it's not the event itself that is determining my happiness. It's what's happening inside of me. So what these events show us is that our happiness, our emotional pain, is never caused by the event. It's never caused by other people or situations or things. It's caused by who am I in relationship to this event. Now, if I am in positive energy, if I'm at the top half of that polarity, if I'm experiencing, in this instance, perhaps satisfaction or confidence, then I'm going to have a positive emotional experience or a positive energy experience. On the other hand, if I'm feeling anger, or if I'm the anger itself is a symptom that I'm in negative energy. So I have to take a look at who am I. I might be feeling powerless. I might be feeling unloved or unimportant. The sadness or the anger comes from my feeling of less than. And that is what we need to understand. That's where our internal experience comes from. The human experience, which includes our thoughts, judgments, opinions, feeling, is completely variable. The external events can be constant. In other words, we all have similar or the same experience. However, how we react to that same experience is going to differ. And it's going to differ based on what our internal experience is. Basically, it's going to differ by who am I? Who have I decided that I am? What is the identity that I assume in relation to that particular event?
Okay, so you're saying then, I do like the point that when we're talking about emotions, you're saying that we're not really reacting to the situation, but we're reacting to what's within us or what we are lacking?
Or who we perceive ourselves to be. There's three primary energies, wisdom, power, and value or esteem. So we're either feeling powerless, we're feeling that we don't know what to do, or we're feeling either unloved or somehow undervalued or unvalued. Those are the three major energies that we're feeling. Now, take, for instance, the boss comes in and announces that come Friday, we're going to have to let 10 people go. Maybe there's 100 people on the payroll. Some of those people are sitting there thinking, well, you know, I've always wanted to move to Mexico. This will be a great opportunity. I wonder if there's a severance pay. And they are in positive energy, and they're on the Internet trying to find out how much houses cost in Mexico. They're feeling very good. Somebody else is in negative energy. They're feeling, how am I going to pay the bills? So that person who's on the Internet is feeling, I am in control. I have choices. So they have a positive experience of the energy of wisdom. And all of these internal energies are part of who we are. This is our spiritual life essence. The other person is in negative essence. They have decided, in this situation, I am less than. I have no control. There's nothing I can do. I can't take care of myself. I won't be able to pay my bills. So because they're, at this point, their energy level and how they react to the event is based on a negative sense of self, they're going to have a negative experience. So the event itself is neutral. The event of I could be laid off has nothing to do with your internal experience. Your energy is dependent upon what identity do I assume in relation to that event? Who am I?
Well, here's a question for you. With that in mind, because obviously, and we've talked a little bit about how leaders should handle what's going on in the current economy, but one of the questions I have on how, as we are managing who we are, improving and taking personal responsibility as an entrepreneur within our current environment, how can adopting, you know, the methods that you talk about in this book, Creating the Entrepreneur, make someone an indispensable employee? And I really want to spend a little bit of time. If you can give us two or three points that people can do that would make them really stand out in this particular marketplace.
Absolutely. The first is understanding that you are accountable. That's indispensable. You take personal responsibility for everything that happens to you. Now, in the workforce, we've come across all sorts of employees who sit there, well, I didn't do it. That's not my job. Well, nobody told me I had to do that. They'll sit there and they watch the place fall apart. These are people that are operating in negative energy. They're at the lower half of the cause-effect polarity spectrum. Creators, people who understand that they are responsible, they understand these energies, they understand these principles, they work at always establishing their creator power. These are your solution people. These are your thinkers. These are your people who are going to relish risk-taking. These are the folks who are going to see every situation as a challenge, and they're going to get excited. So the way to make yourself indispensable is to always be that individual who's looking for that positive solution. There are plenty of people in the workplace walking around with all sorts of ideas on why something can't be done. You need to stand out and say, okay, let's talk about the possibilities. So when you – okay, go ahead.
And so how do we help those individuals stand out? They take personal responsibility and accountability.
Mm-hmm.
They demonstrate this positive energy that we've been talking mm-hmm. about. That's more than just positive energy. It really even comes back to us taking responsibility for our energy level, for what we allow to come through us really as negative energy, and as demonstrated by some of the things that you talked about, the frustration, the barriers, the anger, right. all of those types of things. Are
right.
there other things that we can do that really make us stand out among the crowd?
The more specific things is, and probably the most important, is understanding how life works. Life works according to a causal sequence. There are all sorts of universal principles at work.
Mm-hmm.
And part of these are, some of them we've talked about, cause and effect, taking responsibility. One of the universal laws is called the causal sequence of be, feel, think, do, have. Your be, your who you are, determines your emotions, your energies. So if you have a powerful, positive be, I'm in control, your emotions are going to be confident, success. Out of confidence in success is where your positive thoughts come from. This is where your ideas come from. Ingenuity and innovation exists here, the be, feel, think. Now, out of your innovative thoughts comes your actions, your positive actions, which, of course, creates your positive results. So your be, feel, think, do, have, the causal sequence of life, is really the key to success. So to really stand out, to be that indispensable employee, always live understanding that everything that happens in life is dependent upon the causal sequence of be, feel, think, do, have. Now, where this is critical is 99% of the population lives in reverse of the causal sequence. They start with the results in mind. When I have the new job, I will be happy. When I have that great relationship, I will be happy. And it works in reverse. So to be indispensable, first of all, take control. Acknowledge that you are a creator being. And how you become and maintain being a creator being is understanding that life works according to this formula, the causal sequence of be, feel, think, do, have. Now, that doesn't mean that you're never going to go into negativity. However, the person, the creator, the person in power, recognizing when they do go into negative energy, first of all, takes personal responsibility and is accountable for that negative energy. They're not looking outside of self. They understand and they say, there's something happening inside of me. If I'm feeling negative energy, if I'm feeling anger, then I recognize that this is internal to me. They will take this as an opportunity to grow. They'll take a look at, where am I feeling powerless? Where is my self-esteem been crushed? what is it that I feel less than? Now, as you start to work with the negative energies and you no longer resist your negative energy, the negative energy discreates, and you restore your serenity by understanding that this is within me, allowing it to be, allowing it to dissipate, and then once again move yourself back up into positive energy. Whereas most of us, when we go into the negative energy, we are not willing to take accountability and responsibility for that, mostly because we don't understand that it's within ourselves. We are so used to looking outside of self as the cause of our experience. So when we go into a negative energy state, we'll look for something outside of self. It's my husband's fault. It's my birthday, and he forgot to bring me flowers. It's his fault that I'm feeling this way.
Okay, so now let's take a minute here and go back to this causal sequence of life.
Sure.
Being the word be, then feel, then think, then do, then have.
Correct, yes.
So talk to us a little bit about the be part of this. Is this is just being comfortable with who you are, where you are in life? It's being in touch with who you are?
The be actually refers to the three energies. At any given moment in time, we, in relation to any experience, have an identity that we assume, and it's either positive or negative, depending upon where in the polarity spectrum you sit. So to think of the be as who am I, my being. I'm either in positive power or negative power.
Okay.
Positive power meaning I can handle it. Negative power, it's bigger than I am. I don't know what to do.
Okay.
And actually, I don't know what to do is probably more anti-wisdom. So we have positive wisdom, anti-wisdom. Positive power, anti-power. Positive esteem, anti-value or positive value. In other words, I have decided in this situation who I be is less than.
Yes.
So your be is really who have I, what ID, what identity have I assumed in relation to a specific event. Now, if I have assumed a negative be, I will know that. And how I will know that is my energies will tell me. So if I'm feeling anger, anger, for the most part, is an energy that tells me that I'm feeling powerless. If I'm feeling sad, sadness is an energy that tells me that I am probably in anti-value. Somebody has stepped on my esteem, and I'm feeling sad. If I'm feeling shame, maybe I'm embarrassed. I did something wrong, I should have known better, I'm an anti-wisdom. I don't know what to do. So whenever I'm feeling any type of negative energy, any type of negative emotion, doesn't feel good, that's telling me that I am in a state of negative B. And at this opportunity, this is a perfect opportunity for me to take a look at what ID, what identity have I assumed, what is the trigger event. There's generally a trigger event that's going to trigger or create this emotional experience. Now, this is where cause and effect can become somewhat deceiving because it appears that the event itself caused the experience. For instance, the boss comes in and says, somebody has to be laid off. Guess what? It's going to be you. So you immediately go into anger or sadness. It appears that the boss coming in and telling you you no longer have a job is creating your experience. What has really happened is that is simply the trigger event that has created within you a negative B. The negative B being, I'm not going to be able to take care of myself. There's nothing I can do. I'm not in control. Whereas somebody else, you can go over and say, guess what? You're losing your job in 2 weeks. And they're going to be all excited. You know, they were ambivalent about what am I going to do? Do I want to retire? Now they can get excited about taking care of what they really wanted to do anyway. So it's not the event.
Right. And one of the things that I liked about what you commented on in the B section is asking yourself, and this isn't necessarily proper English, but who do I be in this situation?
Exactly.
So it's a question that how do we see ourselves in this situation?
Right.
And
who
what's actually going on is not necessarily what this situation has done to me, but it's the perception of my identity, of who I am as a result of what has occurred in my life at this moment.
Exactly.
So when we think about, again, we're talking about the causal sequence, and we're talking about, this is Anna, the Real McCoy on Woman Ask Now Radio with our guest, Victoria DePaul. She's the author of the book, Creating the Entrepreneur, The Search for Leadership Excellence. And we're talking about a specific principle in her book, which is the causal sequence, which really teaches us, or it really empowers us to be people that if we can follow the process, because what she's mentioned to us is that we do it differently. We want the results rather than going through the process. So we're walking through that sequence right now. And we've talked about the B portion. Now I want to move to the feel portion. What does this mean when, and I put in our, if you're watching by or looking by chat, it's the B, feel, think, do, have. This is the formula or the sequence. And Victoria is teaching us how to walk through this process and what we experience. Because ultimately, Victoria, I believe that we're trying to get to once we get to the half part of this sequence, we want to produce the most positive results in our lives, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so now let's go back again to talking about the feel part. And you mentioned that a little bit as it related to the B and what we feel, but talk to us a little bit more on how we can recognize the energy, whether it's positive emotional energy or whether it's negative emotional energy, when we think about the feeling portion of this sequence.
The negative energy, the feel, your negative feel is dependent upon a negative B. So your negative B will create a corresponding negative feel or negative emotion.
Okay,
so
stop right there.
Okay.
So I think I'm starting to understand a little bit better is that basically what I've done, I'm actually putting something into motion here when we start at the B.
You got it.
Okay, so now if we're in a situation, then what you're saying to me is that this causal sequence of B, feel, think, do, have has to do with wherever I find myself, because we were talking also about how do we help people become the best that they could be in their workplace, and now I could start to see how this causal sequence can begin to help me, is that if I'm in a situation, my first reaction, however that reaction is, it's going to create in me the B of this sequence. It's going to make me think about who I am or my identity, and if my identity is threatened in any way, and produces a negative reaction in me, then the next sequence of this would be a negative feeling that I'm going to have.
Right.
And okay, so now with that, I'm starting to see the picture now. I see now.
Exactly.
Okay, so now that I have these negative feelings, then moving to the thinking part, the natural sequence would be that because I'm feeling these negative emotional energies, then I'm also going to begin to think what type of thoughts?
You're going to start to think negative thoughts. This always happens to me. There's nothing I can
do. They never let me do this.
Right.
I never can get ahead. They always overlook me for a promotion.
Right.
So let me ask you this, Victoria. Then if I, as it relates to me becoming this employee in the workplace, this indispensable employee, then I'm going to go back to what you were saying about take me back to that process of becoming the indispensable employee, and what does my be, feel, think, do, have look like?
As an indispensable employee, you're going to have a positive causal sequence. So if you're indispensable or you choose to be indispensable, first of all, before any of this can take place. You have to accept I am responsible for everything that shows up in my life.
Okay.
Because if you don't accept that, if you have chosen and even choosing to be a victim, you are creating that. So you cannot not be a creator. Now, whether or not you deny that and create yourself as victim, you are certainly at will to do that.
Okay, wait a minute, Victoria, wait a minute. So you're saying is that in any situation that we find ourselves in, we are a creator regardless.
Right. Regardless of whether we accept it or not, regardless of whether we know it or not.
And we are also creating and putting into motion this causal sequence.
Correct. Now,
okay.
The people that understand that they are creators and want to bring that to the next level and become indispensable employees are operating in a positive causal sequence. So their identity is, I am powerful. I can do this. I am an entrepreneur. I am a results person. So they're coming from a positive be. Their feeling, their energies, their emotional energies are confidence, success, enthusiasm, passion, commitment, ingenuity, innovation, creativity, initiative, resourcefulness, flexibility, resilience. All of that is there. Now, out of all of that positive energy becomes thought. What can we do? How can I handle this? So now you start with the creative ideas. This is the person who doesn't recognize obstacles. This is the person who can figure out how to get around the obstacle. They're risk takers. They enjoy it. This turns them on. And again, these are the people, these are the solution makers that you want in your organization.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the folks who are now going to come up with the ideas that are going to move the organization forward. Now they're going to be able to create an action plan based on those positive thoughts and ideas.
Now
the
we
positive
have,
dream and vision.
Yes, and so now we have the doers, because now we can do it rather than having a person who say that it cannot be done.
Right, and the person who says that it can't be done actually probably comes in to think. So your do is your positive action.
Yes, and behavior that will demonstrate what those positive thoughts are.
Right. You're going to want to cooperate with people. You're going to relate on a positive level with your team. You're going to be looking for win-win negotiation in the do relate phase. So in that win-win scenario, because you're working together as a team, you're looking for cooperation and support. You're acting out of a place of power. You're working on a specific mission and goals. So you have effective communications. You have a positive action plan. Of course, your positive results are going to emanate from the rest of that positive sequence. So you're going to be the person who, instead of whining and complaining, is going to be known as the person who gets things done. And that's what makes you indispensable.
That's good.
And I have very rarely seen someone who has a positive causal sequence at work and is a total failure in other areas of life. Now, that's not to say it doesn't happen. In other words, there are some people who may not quite have gotten it with relationship, but they're effective at work. But overall, generally speaking, people take the creator responsibility to all levels. And what I'm inviting businesses to do is to create an environment where employees have the opportunity to experience themselves in this positive causal sequence. Give people the opportunity to feel that empowerment. And as they do that more and more, people will rise up. They're going to experience greater levels of these positive life energies. And that is what's going to carry on into other aspects of their life. So businesses have a unique opportunity, really, to manage and lead holistically to create not only a better employee, but a better contributor to society at large.
Well, you know, what's interesting, this is really good because you're listening to Anna, the Real McCoy, with my guest, Victoria DePaul, the author of Creating the Entrepreneur, The Search for Leadership Excellence. And we've been talking about the causal sequence. The one thing that I think is really important when we're talking about this is to also identify what people often have a difficult time is identifying the negative results of having a negative causal sequence and seeing what actually happens in an organization or to an individual when they start from that place of a negative B.
Right.
And where do they end up? And I think that in your book you talk about several different ways that we can recognize, even in our organization, and I see that some of these are even personal to an individual who can see that if you get these kinds of results in your life, then we need to work on that causal sequence. We need to get you into a place of positive energy.
Yes.
So, Victoria, you want to talk about some of those results, the negative energies of when you have a negative half?
When, from a professional perspective, if a leader is wondering, and they certainly should know, but if you're looking for specific symptoms as to whether or not your organization is experience a negative half, what you want to look for is poor employee performance, reduced production, a decrease in profits, poor communications. Look for large numbers of people operating in victim mentality. Everybody's picking on me. Everybody's against me. Look for low morale and motivation. Look for indifference. Low initiative and creativity. Increased absenteeism and tardiness. Lack of cooperation. Look for dictator mentality in managers. This is a poor leadership is key, that you have an operation that is dysfunctional. Take a look at what is the job satisfaction levels, high employee turnover. Are people jumping ship quickly? What is the, is it a negative work climate? Do you hear constant complaints? Do you have negative attitudes? Do you get poor customer service complaints? Do you have people or employees who do not comply with safety and organizational policies? All of these are indicators of your negative half or an operation that's operating in negative energy. Now, the collective half of an organization is the result of the collective energy, the collective causal sequence, if you will. So if the collective energies of most employees is negative, then most people are going to be operating from a negative B. And this is where your negative feel or your negative work climate comes from. If most people are operating in negative energy, then, of course, everybody's running around in victim mentality. Not much is getting done. The actions are poor or reactive, at least. The actions could be, you know, what do I have to do to get you to shut up? I'm just going to do as little as possible, just enough to get you to go away. And, of course, this is what creates the negative results for the organization. So that causal sequence is at work at all levels. How you increase that and change those results is by creating an environment that allows people to understand how this causal sequence works. And this is where leadership who understands these principles, even if the rest of the team does not understand it, doesn't buy into it, you can certainly start to have a positive effect on it just by changing the leadership.
Okay. Well, you're listening to Anna, the Real McCoy on Woman Act Now Radio. We've had our guest, Victoria DePaul, and we're about to close our show. But before we do that, Victoria, where can they purchase your book, Creating the Entrepreneur?
Well, you can go to my website, which is GalileoConsultants.com, and that's G-A-L-I-L-E-O, consultants.com, and you can there's a link there to Amazon.com, or you can go straight to Amazon.com.
Okay. Also, the other thing that I want to encourage you to go to her website, because she has several different types of tools that can help you become a better bee. That's what I like. I like this. If we start at the bee, we're going to get where we want to go in life.
Absolutely.
And
for those For those who purchased the book, if you want to work on this causal sequence, there's a free downloadable workbook that accompanies this, so you can download that from the website as well. So you can start to bring these principles, start to work with them personally on your own issues.
Well, Victoria, I want to thank you for being on the show, and thank you for taking the time to share these methodologies of creating the entrepreneur in search of leadership excellence with our audience today. And we just want you to know that you're loved and appreciated, and thank you so much.
And thank you for having me. This has been a wonderful experience.
Well, you're welcome, and we'll talk soon.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.